Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. It is episode 10. We made it. So on this episode, I am going to be talking about The Impossible, Rodney Mullen, Ryan Scheckler, and the Fantastic History of Skateboarding, as well as talking about Return of the King and Mank, the new movie all about the screenwriting process on Citizen Kane. I talked about Citizen Kane last week. I said during that podcast that I purposely didn't look up anything about Mank, and I did credit Orson Welles as the screenwriter, so we'll get a little bit into that as well when I talk about that one. I will also be highlighting three movies from the 1940s. Okay, starting off with The Impossible, Rodney Mullen, Ryan Scheckler, and The Fantastic History of Skateboarding. This is a book that I know is not going to appeal to many of my listeners here, but skateboarding has become something of a hobby of mine in the last year. With the pandemic going on and just all the craziness going on around us, I decided to try something new at the age of 30. So yeah, I took up skateboarding. And now I can skate pretty decently and I can jump over a shoe, which is super impressive. Not really, but I decided to read this book. I just wanted to know a little bit more about the history of the sport. And it is pretty fascinating, I have to say, just how it goes from being so unpopular to popular and then just jumping back and forth. The author says it happens every 9 years or so where there is a resurgence in skateboarding and then it kind of goes away and comes back. That part was interesting. I think also just the public's attitude towards skateboarding, because yes, it is a sport where you can easily find yourself injured. There were people that were opposed to it just because they thought skate culture was somewhat toxic and bad for society in general. So there's that component in there. But at the heart of the book, what it goes through is Rodney Mullen's story, Ryan Scheckler's story, and a little bit of Tony Hawk's story as well. Rodney Mullen's story was the most interesting to me, just raised in such a strict household. And then he basically used skateboarding to change his life entirely. He was super, super bright, was going to double major in college, I think in math and physics, they said in the book, and he is still super bright today. But he decided to chase his passion, chase skateboarding, and he is the one that is responsible for creating all of the tricks. If you know anything about skateboarding, all of the tricks that we do today, ollies, kickflips, all that jazz. Again, all I can do is ollie right now, but I'm hoping that next year, hopefully by the end of next year, I can at least be getting close to doing a kickflip. So we'll see about that. Again, yeah, I'm enjoying skateboarding. I think it's something that is extremely physically challenging, but then at the same time, there's just the mental barrier of trying to do something you've never done before. And it is creative in that aspect and you can do so much with it. So I do enjoy that. Yeah, we'll see how far I go with it. I'm still trying to skate here in Michigan in the cold as much as I can. But yeah, haven't been doing so much in the last week, but hoping to get back into it. But for what it's worth, I really enjoyed The Impossible. You got to look at some of the larger personalities in skating while at the same time you were able to read and take a deep dive into the history of the sport, which was fascinating. I don't want to talk too much about it, but all these skate parks were built and I was talking about how every 9 years or so the sport seems to kind of take a dip in popularity or rise. And they're talking about how all these skate parks were built and then all closed down and then it just goes back and forth. It was very interesting. So again, if you're not into skating, if you're not into skateboarding, this is not going to be a book that's going to be super interesting for you, but I would still recommend it. Okay, yeah, the book segment of the podcast, very short today. I will talk a little bit about at the end of the podcast about what the plan is for the next couple of weeks. I am on break for a few weeks here, so I am planning to take a look at Obama's new memoir. That's probably going to take me a couple weeks. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. Let's get into movies. The first movie that I want to talk about is Return of the King. On previous podcasts, I have talked about Fellowship of the Ring and The Two Towers. We did watch the third one now, and I have to say it probably is my favorite of the three. For this one, we decided to watch the extended version of the movie, And that's because I remember liking the extended a lot more than the theatrical. And I have to say, the extended edition has some issues. I think when you look at some of the scenes that were added, especially with Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli, I don't want to give too much away, but they go, they kind of break off from the main group at one point in this movie and kind of go on their own adventure. There were some scenes added there that I kind of forgot were in there. And yeah, thinking back to how Peter Jackson handled that in the theatrical version of the film, I have to say that I think the theatrical version does a better job with the pacing and the editing. With the extended edition, there are a couple of scenes that I do like that were added, but for the most part, I don't know. Maybe everybody always gives me such a hard time and like says, oh, the extended edition is so much better. I don't think the extended edition is better for any of them. Yes, you have extra content, but I think Peter Jackson and his group of filmmakers, I think they did a really good job editing them down. I will say at the beginning of Return of the King, with the extended edition, there are a couple of scenes towards the beginning that really help to wrap up the second movie. But I think it works either way. I think some fans, though, after watching the first two movies, if the third one didn't start the way the extended one does, like it does in the theatrical, I think that would be a little confusing. And I think I remember when I first saw Return of the King, I was like, what? They didn't really wrap that storyline up. So again, we watched the extended. I think it's a fantastic end to the trilogy. Again, it's the one that won, I think, 11 Academy Awards, I want to say. But yeah, it just really swept the Oscars. It was kind of a celebration of all of the movies because they all really deserved it. They still hold up today. Again, if you have not, for some reason, seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I think I said it last week, but definitely watch it. But avoid the Hobbit movies at all costs. Really goes downhill. The first Hobbit movie is all right. The second one is pretty bad, except for when one character comes on the screen, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. That part of the movie is good. And then the third one is just a complete disaster. So yeah, I would not recommend watching the Hobbit movies. Stick with Lord of the Rings, one of the best movie trilogies of all time. The last movie that I would like to talk about today is David Fincher's Mank. It is a 2020 movie. It just came out. It is on Netflix. It is the reason that I watched Citizen Kane last week. It is all about Herman Mankiewicz, who is the screenwriter of Citizen Kane. And last week I said that it was Orson Welles, was responsible for writing it. As you watch this movie, you realize that that is not the case. And Herman Mankiewicz is the one that is responsible, for the most part, for the writing of Citizen Kane. So Gary Oldman plays Mankiewicz in this movie and gives a fantastic performance. The cinematography is top-notch. It's shot all in black and white, which I thought worked for this movie. Again, Citizen Kane is a movie that was shot entirely in black and white, and it's kind of a homage to that movie with just going with the subject matter. So I thought that that worked pretty well. Also, along those lines, I think they do some interesting and unique things with the script in this movie and some of the title cards that come across the screen as it goes from scene to scene. And I thought that that was fitting as well, just because Citizen Kane was so groundbreaking and revolutionary when it came to some of the ways it told its story. So I thought that worked really well. The Trent Reznor also does the score here and does a fantastic job. Everything with this movie is, for the most part, really well done. And I think if you enjoy Citizen Kane, you're definitely going to enjoy knowing more about the behind the scenes and what was actually going on in the writing process with it. That being said, though, I think the movie does suffer from pacing issues. I think it drags from time to time. It is almost 2.5 hours long. And while it has so many positives going for it, those pacing issues really bring this movie down for me. And it's part of the reason that I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. There are so many scenes in this movie that are so memorable. And then it might go from one of those very, very memorable scenes to one where you're just like, why was that in the movie at all? But overall, Mank is a fantastic and interesting character study. looking at a screenwriter who is responsible for writing what is largely considered one of the best scripts of all time, for what is considered one of the best movies of all time. So if you're interested in anything Citizen Kane related, definitely check out Mank. Gary Oldman will probably be up for an Oscar for his performance here early next year. Okay, the 1940s. Let's hope I have a little more to say than I did with the 1930s. I feel like last week I was kind of just like, okay, these three, I've seen these before. The 1940s, I've seen a lot more movies from the 1940s. And my three recommendation is I've actually seen two of these quite recently. Beauty and the Beast, I watched over during quarantine here. The French 1946 Jean Cocteau version, I think it still remains the best version of the story. Some of the acting and some of the things haven't aged super well, but what has aged well and why this movie is so important to cinema and why this movie should still be watched today are its special effects. Again, it was made in 1946, but some of the magic elements that are a part of the Beauty and the Beast storyline are incredible in this movie. So definitely worth checking out. You won't get much from the acting or the story. Everybody knows the story of Beauty and the Beast, but when it gets really into the meat of the story and some of the special effects are being used, it's really, really cool. Some things that they do with mirrors and just characters kind of transporting from one area to another is really, really neat. So that's why that one's worth checking out. The next movie is The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. John Huston's best movie by far, probably my favorite Humphrey Bogart movie. And that's saying something because like The Big Sleep, Key Largo, The Maltese Falcon, all of those are amazing Humphrey Bogart movies. But I think The Treasure of the Sierra Madre is probably his best movie. It's about gold prospectors and what happens to them, three of them, when they stumble across gold and how it changes all of them. It's a movie that's been parodied in a lot of things, including The Simpsons, but it's just an interesting look into greed and what greed will drive people to do. But again, it's one of the best movies of the 1940s. And if I had to pick my favorite movie of that decade, it would probably be The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. So definitely check that one out if you haven't seen it. And the last one that I'm picking is one that is on everybody's list. Like, okay, this is one of the best movies ever made. And that is The Bicycle Thief. This is one that I have not seen so recently. So if you watch it and you say, oh my gosh, this wasn't nearly as good as I was saying, well, let me know. Because again, I watched it, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and I really, really did enjoy it. It does have a simple premise. It's about this poor man and his son, and it's post-war. They're in Rome, and they're searching. The man's bicycle has been stolen, which is kind of his lifeblood, his one object, his one valuable object. And they're just going through Rome trying to find it. It's a story about father and son living in terrible conditions, living in conditions that a lot of people found themselves in post-war. And it's just a good, interesting look too at just social issues that were present during that time. So if you haven't seen The Bicycle Thief, again, like, yeah, I was researching and looking up top movies of the 1940s, ones that I had seen, trying to put together a list of the movies that I enjoyed. And The Bicycle Thief was near the top of all those lists. And I think it's near the top of my list as well after looking at those movies. As we move to next week, I will be still talking about the 1950s. Next week, though, I will not be reviewing a new book. I might be talking about a few new movies, but what I really want to do next week is I've read almost 40 books this year. Actually, I think The Impossible was my 40th book, and that was my goal at the beginning of the year. So I read my 40th book. I've seen over 100 movies this year. What I'm going to do is next week, make a list of my top 10 movies and probably my top 5 books. And I would like to share those with you next week. And then maybe we'll talk about maybe my least favorite movies as well, or my least favorite books. So we'll kind of do an end of the year wrap up next week. And then the week after, which I believe it will be 2021 by then, it will, I will be reviewing Barack Obama's new memoir and probably quite a few movies. Now that I'm on break and have a couple of weeks off from work here, I will definitely be checking out some things that I missed from this year. Definitely expect a review of Wonder Woman 1984 as well. Maybe next Saturday, but chances are probably we'll be reviewing that one in the new year. So thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Again, Ryan's Reviews is available on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. New episodes air every single Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, and I will talk with you guys next Saturday.